Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing down-to-earth conversations about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, life and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. And together with my girls, Alicia and Natira, we'll be discussing everything from situations to situationships and the challenges women face every day as we navigate this thing called life.
Hello. Hi, Alicia.
Hello.
So we are, it's been a great year. We are on our last episode of the year. And I thought it would be really nice to just reflect on what 2020 was for us. All the highs, all the lows, what we learned, what we wish we didn't learn. So I think this would be a great episode just to dedicate it to reflection and gratitude for making it this far, because we know a lot of people did not.
Right.
So why not use this episode just to pay homage to, is that how you say it, homage?
I think so.
That's how I'm saying it. Unfortunately, we are down a woman. She is not able to make it today. So we will be manning the fort all by ourselves. So Alicia, what was 2020 like for you? What was the best thing? Let's start with the best things. What was the best thing that you can say happened to you in 2020?
I'd say the best thing that's happened to me is just realizing how much support and love that I had, but I found it out kind of in a bad way. When my dad passed, it wasn't expected. He'd been dealing with issues, but we just thought it was going to be a long road to recovery. But when he passed, it was a shock, and I guess at the point that it happened, I just didn't know, like, what the rest of the year was going to look like.
Right.
But in comparison, I probably say that my dad passing, it wasn't it was the biggest thing that happened to me, but it wasn't, I honestly wouldn't say it was the worst, not to say that it's not a terrible event. Uh-huh. But it was challenging. But I think even with dealing with my grief and processing him not being here anymore, I really saw who in my life really does care for me and supports me. And I feel like that's a great thing to learn at any point in your life. But I feel like especially this year, when so many people have been feeling isolated and just alone by the circumstances of this year, I feel really fortunate to say, like, I really do know who my friends are. I really do know, you know, who in my family I can really lean on
right. When
I get down.
Right.
So for me, that's been the best thing.
That was like a silver lining. That was...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, there are so many great things that I can say have happened. It's easy to drown it out with all of the bad things. Of course, COVID is the N word. It's what's in, apparently. It was a very difficult year, but I am grateful that I was able to persevere.
Right.
So one of the things that I can say, my will to remain committed to doing this podcast, because this was a whole brand new thing for us. It started off really slow, and it was just one of those things that I wanted to invest in, but when it came down to it, my energy level was just not there. So we started it, and then we stopped, and you know, it was just so, we had so many things going on, and then COVID came, and I was just like, you know what, to hell with it all. We need a break. I know we only did two episodes, but we need a break now. But I'm grateful that we're still here. I've always wanted to get the podcast going, and here we go. We're doing it. I'm excited about what future episodes will hold. I'm really excited about that.
Right.
But perseverance through all of this, and still being able to smile, still being able to love on the family that we still have here with us, and the friends that we still have. I mean, there's so many things to be grateful for that I think during the, as the days progress, I probably took for granted, because I was so concerned about all the bad things that were going on. All the and the main talk was COVID-19, coronavirus.
Exactly.
So I think I can admit that I allowed it more often than not to overshadow all of the things that I had to be grateful for.
Yes, I agree. And I don't know about you, but for me, I got to a certain point, I want to say over the summer, where I really had to regulate, you know, how much news I take in. Because initially, especially like when I first started to work from home in March, I, you know, my office, like everyone else, is my living room / dining room. So, you know, in my actual office, you know, in person, I would have on a music or a podcast. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, well, let me listen to the Today Show throughout the morning. Terrible idea. I mean, if there wasn't talk of COVID, there was talk about the election. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't talk about the election, it was just talk about the racial injustice. And other things. And like you said, it's just easy to feel like, oh man, everything is terrible. Every day someone's dying. Every day there's some issue with making progress. And it's like, well, what can we look forward to? And I just got to a certain point. It's like, okay, I know things aren't great, but they aren't that terrible. So I want to stay informed, but I don't want to be informed to the point where I drive myself crazy. So it's like, I'm not going to look at, like, you know, the news live. I will just look at Google News every so often during the day and just follow what I'm really interested in. And if I have to, I can cut all the news, but I can't let it, like, control my life. Right. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that was one of the things, like, that was, it was traumatizing a lot of people, just because of their need, because in the beginning it wasn't necessarily a want, it was a need to be informed on what was going on. You know, am I safe? Is it okay for me to go to work? Is it okay for the kids to go to school? It was that need to know. But that need to know, it turned into a monster, and it was traumatizing. So it was like being caught up in a cycle of something that you just can't get out of. And for me, it was a very traumatic year, in the sense of just trying to stay informed on what was going on outside. And I work from home, so I don't necessarily have to leave my home to go to work to make money to pay the bills. But I do work for a healthcare agency, a health insurance. So I was able to listen to our clients who were diagnosed with COVID, or their families, you know, their caregivers. And in the beginning, the amount of deaths that were coming in, like in one day, it was like 50, 60 people, you know, that I would have to close out their case because they're expired, they've died. And that was a lot. It was, and it got to the point where I felt like I was just walking around like I was a zombie. I wasn't really here. I wasn't really there. I was just existing. I was, you know, and it wasn't fun. Waking up wasn't fun because it, like, I was traumatized.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, how did you figure out, like, how you needed to not only, like, invest in self-care, but just, like, feel like you could still hang on to a bit of your sanity? I work in healthcare as well, and I do deal with patients, but I don't think nearly as bad, not nearly as high at the level that you do. But it can get to be a lot when you get a call from a coworker saying, well, this patient's died. So how did you kind of navigate that?
It was hard. Self-care was totally out the window. So I think I aborted self-care by May. Self-care was not even exist. That word didn't mean anything to me because I felt lost. I felt helpless. Right. There was nothing I could do. And then I'm worried, even though now by that point, the kids were already home. They weren't, you know, there was no going to school. But I'm sitting here looking at these little people who I'm responsible for, trying to figure out how can I navigate them through the future. And then I don't know what the future is going to be because I don't know what the heck is going on in this world. So self-care for me was non-existent. And I think I was actually depressed. Before working from home, I would at least get up in the morning, take my shower, get dressed, and act like I was going to be going somewhere. I would get up in the morning, and me and my PJs would be right at the computer. And then at night, I would take my shower, put on a new pair of PJs, and that's it. There was no think. There was no downtime. That doesn't say that I didn't have quiet time because every night I always, you know, I don't have the TV on. I don't have anything on. I just usually leave that as time for me to reflect on the day. But for months, I would do that. And it was like either there were no thoughts or it was just thoughts that I just couldn't make sense of. So it was difficult. And eventually, I decided that because now, you know, you have people who are wearing the mask. You have people who are hand sanitizing. You know, they're doing everything they can, but they're still getting COVID. So in my mind, I said, you know what? It doesn't really matter. If you're doing everything that you can to try to prevent yourself from getting it, but you still get it, there's really not much you can do. It doesn't make sense to not live. As long as you're doing it, you know, you're practicing social distancing, you're doing everything you can to protect yourself and others. But there's no reason for me to just sit around and mope around the house all day and worry, like, be the people who hypochondriac.
Because
I was literally like a hypochondriac. As soon as you step foot in here, take your shoes off. Go in the bathroom and take those clothes off. Like, I was a hypochondriac. It was really bad. And after a while, you have to decide, like, either you're going to get it, there's the possibility that you're going to get it, whether you're taking the proper precautions. So why not take the proper precautions and still live, still enjoy what you have? And that's what made me start just taking notice to the things that I had been neglecting. Because those things were still here. It just really took understanding that even people who were taking the proper precautions were still getting it, still either getting really sick or not getting sick at all. And that was just, it was tiresome just trying to figure out things that I would not be able to figure out. And that was a whole year. But like you said, just like with the death of your dad, there was a silver lining because you were able to see who's there for you, who cares for you. So for me, going through all of that and being in that deep depression on top of still trying to adjust after having my thyroid removed, it was just not a good year. It really wasn't. If I had to think about all the worst things for me from October of last year when I had my surgery, right, to October of this year because I got diagnosed with COVID. So I had a really rough time. Yeah. And I think my husband owes me a life gift. I don't even know, is that even such a thing? I think he owes me a...
There's push gifts for when you have a baby.
Yeah,
there's,
right?
Hey, we made it out this hellhole. Give me something.
I need a life gift. I do. I'm going to bring that up. I think we're going to make that a thing. We are going to definitely make that a thing. Because it was really rough. And for anybody who's listening, it's so easy to get drawn into all the negative things that are going on in your life. And when one bad thing happens, it seems like it invites every single bad or negative moment that's hanging around. And it's like you get bombarded and nonstop. Right. And that's how it felt for most of the year. But sometimes you just got to stop and really take in what's surrounding you. Take it and not take in the bad things. Take in all the good things. Sometimes you got to lean on what's good to block out what's not so great.
Yes, I agree.
So, I mean, that is that like all we can say is COVID. Like 2020 was the year of disaster. It really was. It was the ultimate year of disaster, but we made it.
Yes.
I got tired of cooking. Like we went through phases. We went through phases where we were just trying any and everything. I went through the phase of me and Amazon had this really close relationship. It was a really close and intimate relationship where Amazon was coming to my home every day. And it was great because my husband is at work. So, you know, I'm having this tryst with Amazon and then he's not at work. And not only one package comes, but three packages comes. And now I have to explain to this man, why am I getting all these deliveries of nothingness? Because I think one of the stupidest things I ordered from Amazon, what the heck was it?
You don't even remember.
It was just so stupid. Oh my God, what was it? I know I gave it to my dog and he tore it up. It was... Now I'm going to have to go back through my Amazon list. It was something so stupid. It was like, it was a toy, but it would probably been like a toy for like the kids or whatever. But I got it. It looked cute, but then when you get it, it's not what it looks like in the picture. It was just so stupid.
Yeah. Online shopping, I feel like some people, it's like they discovered it for the first time and they couldn't control themselves. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in some ways it's been very necessary because at the beginning of the pandemic, I subscribed to Shipt to get my groceries delivered because at that point I did not want to go into a grocery store. So I liked having that available to me.
Right.
But the downside of that was they do tend to overcharge on everyday items that you need and be available to the shopper for them to ask about replacements. So at one point during the summer, I just decided to start going back into the store on days off, just making an early run, and that's been good. But now, as numbers are going in the same direction they were earlier this year, I might have to go back to Shipt and start ordering, you know, instead of, like, taking a chance and going out. So I can definitely see, you know, the necessity of online shopping, especially now with the holiday rush. The last place I would want to be is a mall. And that's not exclusive to COVID. Like, I hate going to malls. So.
I agree. It annoys me. It annoys me.
Yeah. But it looks like one thing 2020 has shown is, like, what we're probably going to be able to survive without, and it looks like shopping malls are going to go the way of the dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well as a lot of restaurants, which I think is not so great, because there are a lot of restaurants that were not doing so well pre-COVID, but now it's just like a death knell, and as much as I want to support every restaurant that I like, it's just not possible.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I found what it was that I ordered. I had to go and look. It was just so stupid. It's called a arg ball. Like, you know, if you're going, so it's A-R-G. So, you know, and it looked cool because I'm like, okay, it's one of those squeezy, you know, little toy thing. But when I got it, I'm like, this is so dumb. Like, what? So, you know, I gave it to the dog so he could play with it. And he just tore the thing up. I'm like, why did I order this? I have no idea why. I paid $15 for that stupid thing. $15 for an arg ball. It's supposed to be a jumbo stress ball. It did not help with that. It did not work. But yeah. I mean, it's been rough.
Yeah,
it's been fun. One of the things that I paid attention to, because then I started kind of just paying attention to my actions and my behaviors and just how I feel throughout the day. And one of the things I noticed is that I was not allowing myself to commit to anything. And I think on some days, I think that's okay, because you just don't have to if you don't want to. But from another perspective, if you have goals, if you have things that you want to accomplish, you can't half-ass it. You have to be either all in, or you need to set it aside until you're ready to be all in. And I was actually supposed to have my book, my next book was supposed, my plan was for it to be done in December, this month right here. And I still have the same four chapters that I had earlier. It might have been... Oh, well, let's just say that my book ain't done. So, I wasn't allowing myself, I wasn't holding myself accountable for much. I just felt like, oh, this is the end of the world. Why should I? But I want to. And then that leads me to feeling the remorse. Like, oh my God, why didn't I? Because here we are, the end, you know, we're well into December. And I didn't do any of the things I said I would do.
Yeah. Goals this year. For me, I haven't really made any long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
But there are short-term goals. I know I have. Some I've met. Some I have not.
Okay.
So, I'm working.
How did you keep yourself centered on it?
Honestly, I don't know. I just know I need to not feel so lazy about everything. I was like, let me at least do one thing a day that I know I can control. And it helped, for me at least. Like, I could control one thing about my day and I could do it and it was done. Mm-hmm. And that was good. But other things, I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to do this. Yeah, I'm very much in that boat, but I feel like as I don't know, this year comes to a close and I realize we're going to make it out of 2020. Maybe that will be my motivation.
Yeah, we have a whole brand new year. I'm not talking about no New Year's resolutions. I don't know what 2021.
No, not
I don't know if anybody has already pissed in 2021's Cheerios. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just going to wait and see, you know, if she walks in and she look cool, I'll be cool with her. You know, I'll let her lead. But I'm excited because, and I think I'm excited because I was able to pull myself out of that deep depression, that depressive state of not knowing what to do or not knowing what I should be expecting. It just gets to a point where you just need to continue to live.
Yes.
You know, what if something is going to happen, it's going to happen. And if it's not going to happen, you shouldn't allow yourself to be set back under the expectation of something happening.
Yes, I agree.
I'm excited. I want, for the podcast, I'm excited about the topics and the guests that we're going to have on.
Right.
I told you I actually got my husband to agree to do an episode with me, and I think we're going to call it date night or couples night or whatever. I don't even know how it's going to go. I don't even know when it's going to happen. I keep asking him about it, but he, you know. So I'm probably just going to have to sit the mic in his face and like talk. Yeah. Say something. Just poke him a little bit until he starts talking. But I'm excited about that. I think that our outlook should be the way we feel on the inside should mirror what we are expecting on the outside, and vice versa. So I'm just going for what's making me happy. You know, I want to stay safe, but I also need to live, and I recognize that. And I think everyone should start doing little things. If we can't go back to normal, you know, anytime soon, I think this is the perfect time to start honing in on your creative abilities, your inner skills.
Right.
What can you do that could bring you in some money? Because even though some people are losing their jobs, money is maybe scarce for some, people are still spending.
Yes.
So you might have a skill that you can market that can help you out while all of these things fall into place, fall out of place, rebuild, whatever the heck is going on. Mm-hmm. But I think that's something, and that's something that I actually, for my kids, because I still don't know what they want to do. My daughter says she wants to be a nurse. However, she doesn't like to see blood.
Okay, that's the problem.
I don't really know how that's going to work for her. My son, he says he wants to play football. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm not trying to discourage him from it, but I do want him to think about other things that he could potentially do. So I bought them. I had ordered some books again from my lover, Amazon. I had ordered them some books. One of the books was a cookbook for my daughter, because every day she wants, oh, mommy, let's make this, let's make that. She hasn't opened that book yet. She has not touched the book. She actually has not really even been asking me to make anything, because I'm going to send her to the book. But, and then my son, I'm just trying to get him to read a little bit more.
Right.
One of the books that I ordered for him was sports. It was sports players talking about how they got to where they were.
Oh, okay.
I think that's something that will kind of help him understand that he has to commit himself to whatever it is that he decides he's going to do. But yeah, this is a time to hone in on your creative ability and do something. You don't have to, it could just be a hobby, just something to keep your mind off of your day. Just, you know, something that you can relax. Yeah. I know Natira knits. She knits really, I like, she makes hats and scarves. So that's relaxing for her. Right. I sleep. That's really relaxing for me. I'm really great at sleeping. I'm like, I have it down. I sleep. What do you do? What is something that you do that relaxes you?
Reading. I read at least a book a week and usually more.
Wow. Oh my gosh. To be young again. Like, you just made me feel so old because I used to do that. I used to read so much. And now, and I think I can credit that to being in school and having to read all those pages with things in it that I will probably never fully understand. And then writing about all the things in all those pages that I will probably never fully understand. So now I'm like, reading is a task for me. I still want to do it, but the minute I grab a book, it's like my eyelids get so heavy.
That's how I was. Well, even in college, I read for pleasure because the textbooks, I figured out a way to get through them and not feel like they were completely terrible. Mm-hmm. But after I would finish reading textbooks, I would try and read at least something for pleasure. Mm-hmm. So, and I come by it honest. Like, my dad read a lot. A lot of the gifts I bought him in recent years were like memoirs, and he'd read it and then he'd give it to me and I'd read it and then we'd talk about it. So we kind of had our own de facto book club. And then my mom, she reads a lot of fiction and she'll recommend books for me. And then I'll recommend books that either I've read on my own and I'm in a book club. So I think, honestly, I think it's just like my parents always like, read. I had a library card at like 5. So I don't know how not to read. When someone tells me they don't read anything at all, it's
like, how do you live? How are you okay with that? Yeah. I get it, because reading, and that's why I try to get my kids to read, because for me, reading is an escape. Like, you can you can form your own images. You can take whatever words that you see and, and just create this entirely different world. So it's like an escape, and that's why I loved it so much. But working on a master's degree in counseling, my brain is fried. My brain is so fried. So I don't enjoy it as much as I used to, but I'm almost done. I think this is my last, this is my last quarter. I don't see a PhD in my future. And if you hear me say anything about going for a PhD, I want you to personally come here and knock me out. Just knock me out. Don't even worry about it. Just knock on the door. I'm going to open it, bop me on my head, and go on about your business. Because I don't need to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, you should be proud of yourself for just keeping up with that, because I know a lot of people say, oh, I'm going back to school, and they're like, well, actually, I'm dropping out, I have too much debt, or I'm not going to make any money off this degree. But for you to actually, you know, maintain that commitment, that's very admirable.
Girl, let me tell you something. I had, in the beginning, I was like so gung-ho about it. But sometimes the way, I guess it's just the professional, educated way that things are presented. To me, it just doesn't make sense, because I want to learn in a way that I would communicate to my clientele. And the way some things are presented, like, for the life of me, I'm not ashamed to say, me and APA formatting, I can't stand it. I like, why do I have to cite it? Why can't you just trust me? I know. Why do I have to cite it? Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. It drives me insane. And I think because I've never liked it, I have always had an issue with it.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm loving what I'm learning. I'm just tired.
I get it. I think one thing people don't talk about enough is the fact that you have 12 years of your primary and secondary education, then you're expected to at least do 4 years of college. Mm-hmm. Then a lot of times, well, if you want to make even more money and have better professional standing, you need to get an advanced degree, which is at least another 2 year commitment. So when we're all said and done, that's at least almost 20 years of your life.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Which is, almost a fourth of your life. And like you said, when you get out, do you talk to clients in the same way your textbooks were things? No.
No,
so it's just like, I totally get it. Because I only have my college degree. Mm-hmm. But I do think about possibly getting an advanced degree. But I'm like, what for? What would I do?
Before I did the counseling, I had actually wanted to do public health.
Oh.
And I enrolled in public health, and I didn't like it. And I didn't like it because the presentation of what we would be doing was not geared towards the people who really needed it the most.
Okay.
So okay. I was like, I would have to pay all this money to learn how to speak to people who already understand this, and then I have to translate it in order to get it out to the people who really need it. And it was really discouraging for me. I just didn't like the curriculum. I didn't like anything about it. And I was like, okay, maybe public health was not for me. And it was weird because for about 2 years, I wanted was to do public health. I wanted to do public health. Mm-hmm. It was just not for me.
Yeah. I think public health is fascinating, but it's such a new field. Mm-hmm. And there's so much within the span of public health, because not only can you talk about diseases like COVID, obviously, mm-hmm,
right,
but there's the ongoing HIV issue.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot. But yeah, I've always thought like public health is fascinating, but I kind of knew from afar that was not going to be my thing. A lot for the reasons you said, but also because, I don't know, like, medicine in general, there's so many, like, nuances to it, and right. trying to explain that to the everyday person, like you said, mm-hmm. it's a lot.
Yeah, you're gonna spend, I mean, maybe if I would have given it more chance, like, given it right. more time, it would have clicked for me, but it just wasn't clicking. I couldn't see myself following their guidelines, following yeah. How the professor was saying that we had to present it, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't see me taking that and presenting it to inner city people who aren't that educated. I couldn't see myself taking. That's how misunderstandings happen. And to me, yeah. I feel like it's taking advantage of vulnerable people and giving, not necessarily misinforming, but misrepresenting, because they don't understand what it is that's being said.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gotta pay this money to learn this and then right. translate it to this. But I mean, I guess that's how it goes. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, not everything is for you, even though you might think it is at the time. And yeah. I think that's a lot of what this year's also taught people. Like, you're realizing, well, maybe I'm not who I actually thought I was.
Exactly.
A lot of people say that they're like, I'm not who I thought I was. I thought I liked going out. I thought I liked being busy, but I really don't. I just do it. I thought I had to.
And I think this year was the perfect year to learn that, to learn exactly who you are.
Yeah.
Because, girl, let me tell you, I walked around here for a week. I didn't brush my hair. And I just happened to look, because I have this big mirror in my living room, and I just happened to look at the mirror, and I'm like, oh, my God. And why didn't you tell me? Then I'm telling my husband, like, why are you letting me walk around with my hair like that? And my husband tells me every day, he goes, you're beautiful. I love you. You know, he's always like, why are you lying to me? Do you see what this mirror is saying right now? Yeah. And, you know, 2020 was the year to really, really figure yourself out. And I just, for a minute, I wasn't living right.
No one was telling you except the mirror.
Yeah, the mirror was the only one that had the courage to say, look, sis, you need to fix this. Oh my God. But, you know, it was a hard year, but we made it.
Yes.
We still have some days to go, but I'm confident that we're going to make it through.
Yeah.
And next year, I mean, hopefully we can take what we learned about ourselves this year and apply it to self-improvement and development. And just future success, because ultimately everyone wants to be successful. Right now, I think everybody just wants to live. But outside of that, you still want to be successful. You still have to pay your bills. You still have to, you got to buy supplies. Kids, even though they're not in school, they still need things.
Yes.
They're growing. I do have to take my son, who seems to have gotten taller than me, over the summer. He needs to go to get some clothes. So, I mean, we still have to live. So I'm just hoping that people are able to take what even the good and the bad, just take that and take from it what they need to be better in the upcoming weeks and months.
I agree.
So, what do you think about this discussion? Join the Facebook group Between a Talk and a Hard Place and let us know.